Blog Talk Radio.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty? In the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brother Shabbal, Brother Rob, my government name, from the Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland, under the tutelage of Rabbi Yakael ben Gershom ben Daniel Yahushua HaMashiach, our spiritual leader. Father Yah, I want to open up with a prayer. First of all, thanking you for giving me the breath of life today and allowing me to function. Father Yah, Open up my spiritual ears and my spiritual eyes. Forgive me of my sins, knowingly and unknowingly, Father God. I want to thank you, Father God, for being merciful and being patient with me. The fruit of the Spirit, being long temperance with me. Father God, may I decrease so you can increase and use me as your vessel to speak your word tonight on this Rosh Chodesh, the new moon of the incoming fourth month, Tammuz moon. Father God, watch over our spiritual leader, Rabbi Yaakov, continue to strengthen him, bless him, continue to feed him, and give him your manna from above. And bless his family. Watch over all the Kohen, Father God. Continue to bless them and continue to fill them, their vessels, so they can dispense your word. Father God, watch over our Zakens, Zaken Ward, Zaken Gary. Heal them wherever they are ill and continue to give them your wisdom and your guidance. Father God, watch over all our the wives in the congregation, continue to give them the spirit of meekness, spirit of a helpmeet, and let them walk in the commission of Titus, where they tear down the spirit of feminism, which is disguised, it's disguised under the spirit of feminism, but we know it's the spirit of Jezebel, which is HaSatan, the author of that spirit. Father God, bless the single sisters in the congregation, strengthen them and keep them so they also can walk in the same as the married sisters with the commission of Titus to teach the younger your best daughters, teach them the ways of the Torah. Be faithful. Father God, continue to watch over Sister Debbie as she's becoming. Strengthen her, Father God. And watch over the people that's giving her care. Forgive them. Strengthen her son, Brother Kev. Help him. And endure. Father God, continue to watch over our young sister Naomi, who came home from the hospital, and continue to strengthen her, lead her, and guide her as she recovers in her walk, her new walk. She's been knowing you, Father God, all her life, but this is her new walk, a new journey, a path that you'll walk along with her. You will lead her if she allows you to guide her and lead her. Father, y'all strengthen all the teenagers in our congregation. Brother Brendan, as he recovers, continue to watch over the little ones in our congregation. All the children, keep your heads around them, keep any unclean spirits from them. And the young adults in our congregation, young sisters in our congregation, strengthen them and may they speak and walk by the commission of Titus and tear down this spirit of feminism, Jezebel spirit. So be the light to young sisters out here, young adults, daughter of Yah, want to conduct themselves. That is the style. It's not a new thing. It just hasn't been displayed. It's been always been around. From your remnant and your selective one. Father, y'all watch over all the brothers. Brother Marcus, continue to strengthen him. Brother Ivy, continue to strengthen him and light him in the word, his family. Watch over Brother Matayah and continue to comfort him and his family as they mourn because of his aunt's passing this past weekend. Strengthen that brother. Continue to keep him enlightened in your word. Brother, yeah, watch over Brother Wendell, Cohen Wendell down Canoe Call down in Houston. Continue to strengthen him and lead and guide him that he can conduct your word and be the light down in Houston, one of your representatives. Watch over Brother Mike in Delaware. Continue to strengthen him and lead him as he walks in this walk. And bless any listeners that's listening for the first time. Any listeners that haven't listened in a while, open their spiritual ears and spiritual hearts, their minds, that they can hear your word, the word that you want. And forgive me if I forgot anything, Father Yah, but we know you assured us that your Holy Spirit would pray for us if anything. We forgot to give you your praise and honor and glory for. Watch over our sisters in New Jersey, Sister Mariah. She's one of our sisters too. Let her continue to represent you and shine her light in this darkened world. Let she do the commission of Titus for the sisters up there in New Jersey so they can see. And Father, I thank you. In the name of your son, Yahushua, our soon coming King and Redeemer. Amen. If anybody can hear me, shoot me a text. I apologize, I should have asked that first. Okay, I received a thumbs up at 7:33 from Rabbi Yakael. So I'm assuming it's still good. Okay. Okay, I just say I received something up. Brother Mataya, Toda. As I said, I'm your host for tonight, Raw Kadesh show, Blog Talk show. Raw Kadesh, for those not aware, I mean, the new moon. Yahweh tells us in Psalms 83 to get together to worship, to meditate on him, on a weekly Shabbat, which is every sunset Friday, every sunset Saturday, every holy, one of his seven holy days. And he has two permissible holidays, but they're not holy days. Purim, which in the 12th month is called Adar. Celebration of the deliverance of the Yahudi, deliverance of the Jewish nation from not getting exterminated, annihilated, excuse me, by a person named Haman, who was filled with the spirit of Hasatan to destroy the Jewish nation. As Psalms 81 said, they tried to wipe out the nation. And this thing's still been going on since the beginning of the times. It's still coming right now into the time we are now. People have not realized that people sometimes have a tendency to say, whatever back in Bible means. People tell me that when I'm at my job. But I hate to tell them, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to 21, says that heaven and earth pass away. So looking out the window, it's still Bible day. And the other permissible holiday is in the ninth month, Kislev, which is called Hanukkah. Celebration of restoring and rededication of the temple that got defiled. So we come together on all those days that Yahweh asked us to come together and to meditate on him and his mercy and his goodness. And we today, as I'm speaking now, today is the third month. We're still in the third month of Sidon, but at sunset, within another, I say, 20 minutes, excuse me, about another 45 minutes, I think 8:35, we're going to set the day. Apologize, not finding that out. We'll be leaving the third month Sidon and entering into the first day of the fourth month, Tazmu. The third month of Sivan that's on the Yahweh calendar, which on the Gregorian calendar, today is the 29th of June, which is considered the 6th month Gregorian calendar. And Friday, this coming Friday, Yah willing, it would be on the Gregorian calendar, July the 1st, the 7th month, where on Yahweh calendar, it would be the 3rd of Tammuz, the 4th, 3rd day of the 4th month. I'm going to open up with a prayer. Blessing, open prayer. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. As I was saying, stating earlier, we're leaving the 3rd month of sunset today and going into the 4th month. But on the Gregorian calendar, in the world that we live in, it's June, the 6th month, which is the 29th day, and tomorrow will be the last day of that. And due to this, to be honest with you, family, I was wondering what to teach. So I'm just going to allow the Spirit to allow me to touch on things that have been transpired over the last 30 days in this month. Some of the things, not all of the things. This month, across the nation in the United States, I'm not sure, I'm assuming across not all nations accept it, but across the world, this was considered Pride Month. But the Pride Month for the community, they call it the LGBT and Q community, which I find very offensive, as Brother Ahabel stated when he opened his blog talk Sabbath morning study, when he was saying how this month, how they have a month towards Pride Month for doing something that's an abomination to the Most High. Yahweh say a man should not lay with another man. Yahweh say a woman should not lay with another woman. And for a lot of people try to say, well, that's Old Testament. No, you can go in the book of Romans chapter 1 and 2. Brother Ahabel had that also because he had a double portion that Sabbath. He also taught the Torah portion that Sabbath also. Excuse me. And what came to my mind when the brother when he shared that, and I thought about it, I said, the month that we're leaving out of at sunset was the month of Sivan that we found in Exodus chapter 19. For those not aware, this month here, every month is holy that Yahweh gave us. This month here, this one, the Yahweh's declaration, I guess you would say, his constitution, Brother Ariel liked to use our key to this. I think he has one more segment on his mental health law talk this Friday, this Shabbat. But as he was saying, every nation has a constitution. Every nation has, like Brother Darewell said, every nation has laws. Nobody has, you know, they have some kind of thing to follow. Even at your job, if you work for someone, even if you are self-employed, you say, I'm self-employed, Shabbat, you still have to deal with others depending on any field of employment, legal or illegal. Yes, you still have to have some kind of laws or some kind of guideline to follow or abide by in order to make your service be proficient. That's what I'm trying to say. But what I'm saying on that month, which is a slap, which is really a very slap in the face that Hasatan, that's Satan, what he's doing to stir up in people. is this month, June, they picked the month of June. Like I said, which month of June, if it's not a leap year or whatever, well, even if it's not a leap year, it usually coincides with the third month of Sivan is either going in or coming in. And what I'm saying, like I said, because that's the third month, and you go to Exodus chapter 19, like the last program that I had with the beginning of for the month of Sivan, Rosh Chodesh, that's when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments and some statutes and ordinances. And some judgments also. So he gave them during this third month, during this month. So this month that we're leaving, exiting, it's a very, you would say, a very holy month. And just like you would, of course, we know Abib, the beginning of the year, which coincides on the Gregorian calendar, the beginning of the Yahweh Spring Feast, his holy days, which is Passover. Well, Passover is not a holy day, but Feast of Unleavened Bread, first day and seventh day, and then counting of the Omer, the weeks, which was the 7 weeks, which was the last spring feast of the spring festival, Pentecost, Shavuot, excuse me. You would have that's we all would agree that, yeah, they're holy, but this third month was holy too. Think about it. He gave the Ten Commandments. He gave his constitution, his laws. He gave his ways he gave it, Psalms 105 say, to no other nation. He gave it to Israel, but for Israel to be teachers, be sowers. Because for anybody that's looking on TV shows, I was in the emergency room a couple of Sabbaths, Friday nights ago, and they put me in a room. Eventually, I got into a room after being sitting out in the lobby for a long time. But eventually, I got into a room, and they had a TV evangelist on, and he was telling people to sow they see, because I forgot. He was using something Yahweh's word, using it the wrong way to make a profit. And he was telling people sow a seed, and the lowest amount of seed you could sow was $1,000 monetary gift. But anyone don't know, you go to Matthew 13 and you'll see, you read that for yourself. Pray to Yahweh first. Always instruct that. And excuse me, I forgot to remind you. Make sure you have your pens so you can take notes, and and your pad, so you can, if something strikes your soul or something you want to go back on and look over. But most importantly, have your Bible, because this program is archived, is recorded. So you'll be able to go back. You don't even need your pen. That's just something I'm accustomed to, have a pen, take notes, put little stars, asterisks by things, circles or whatever, and come back. But at least have your Bible so you can be like Acts chapter 17, like Paul talked about the Bereans. They were different than the Thessalonians. They looked in the scriptures and followed to see everything that the disciples spoke to them. Was it in the scriptures? And now in the times we're in now, we need to also follow that pattern of the Bereans that Paul spoke about in Acts chapter 17, I believe it's verse 11. You don't want to go slack and be nonchalant, because like Hosea said in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, it is time to seek Yahweh. It's time to seek the Lord. It's been time to seek him, but you may definitely want to tighten up, get a little more focus, examine yourself, like Paul said. Make sure you're in the faith and the word, because after this program, I got given a leaflet from my sister and asked me a question. Do we black Hebrews believe this or teach this? Because she know I'm a teacher. I guess, yeah, I'm sure one of my brothers told her, like, yeah, he think he's a teacher now. But I had to let her know, first of all, I'm not a black Hebrew. And a lot of people mistaken us as a group out here that does call themselves black Hebrews. But no, we're not affiliated with them. because some of the things that they say, they have a belief and assumption under, we disagree with, and we can show it not because of what our rabbi tell us, but what Yahweh words, Holy Bible tell us. And without twisting it to fit our belief or belief that we may fit, want to be pushed, nah, we don't do that. We let the scriptures interpret themselves. And if we don't have the interpretation, we wait patiently. And I know I've been knowing this rabbi since 2007, Yahweh led me to this. Got me off that broadened path because I was a full-fledged Christian. Ain't nothing wrong with being a Christian. I'm not chiding them. If it wasn't for me being a Christian, I wouldn't have never found the exit to get off of that broad road to this narrow road and come out of that light. That was a little light, or to get in this bright light, the light, to follow under the one that say, I am the light of the world, the bread of life, Yahushua HaMashiach, hallelujah, the Messiah. So we let scriptures interpret scriptures, and we wait on Yahweh to give the interpretation, or we stay silent. But as I said, since 2007, nothing has been spoon-fed to me, forced, and some congregations I have been in when I was a Christian, because I've never been in any Hebrew congregations, nor any black Hebrews. As a matter of fact, no white or Caucasian Hebrews. Never. But I had to address that to let them know, and just give scriptures. A lot of people are into their denomination faiths and beliefs and holding on to their beliefs of their family, grandmothers, uncles, that's or pastors, and nah. It's only one person can give you the righteousness and sanctify you, set you apart, and give you salvation and salvage you. That's Yahushua. So if your grandmother and your uncle, if they're under that banner, they're under following that constitution, and say, that's cool. But if they're on something different, that's not it. He tells you that in Matthew 7:21. You don't build on a solid foundation, the winds and the rain will come and wash it all down and away. I tell you, the time going to come, people going to say, didn't we heal in your name? Didn't we feed in your name? He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Iniquity means you transgressors, you lawbreakers. What law? It's in this Bible. Not the laws of your church denomination, but the law that's found that God gave, spoke to his prophets in his Holy Bible, his Torah, and all of his books, the 66 books, his Holy Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. It's one transmission of thought. It's no, that's old now, that's gone away with. But this month, getting back to this month is very, was a very, very, this month was a very significant month. What happened in this month? He gave us the Ten Commandments, his way to walk by, to be the light to the people, show the people the way, his standard, and show a person where he has something to compare. Like in the opening prayer that I pray, that the sisters walk in that the commission that Titus gave them to teach all the other sisters that's out here, to let them know their daughters are God too, but this is how you become engrafted and adopted in this family, by obeying his laws, commandments, and statutes. This month, so like I said, you had people displaying some vulgar behavior, as a couple of people say on YouTube. They had a whole month to walk around, parade up, basically partially nude. Well, Yahweh tell you, cover thy nakedness. So, and you see many signs throughout this, well, you've seen them, but I saw a lot of them, took a picture of a few, actually churches. That was the ironic thing, was all a welcome here, had the red, white, and blue, they took the rainbow from Yahweh, and he gave us a covenant. He's a covenant God. Talking all are welcome. That is true. That is, I'm not disagreeing that all are welcome. But if you come in those doors, if it's a place of worship of Yahweh, if you come in those doors and you were a participant or actively engaged in the LGBTQ community, you're not supposed to, you're not to leave out the way that you came in. Okay, I guess, yeah, because I was too many tongue-tied things. Plain and simple. You may came in a full-fledged member of the LGBTQ community, and you had beliefs, and you believed in it, strong, whatever. You not leave out there the same way. And I'm not saying as soon as you come in LGBTQ, and then as soon as the service is over, you like, I'm delivered. Now, that can happen. All things are possible with Yahweh. But something to have pricked your spirit and make you go home, if you seriously want to be a son or daughter of Yahweh and be obedient, do the things that please him, like his son Yahushua said, my well-beloved son who I'm well-pleased, you would examine yourself, like Paul said, to see if, am I doing that thing to the right way to make the Father pleased? And then you would inquire. How do you inquire? You search the scriptures, his Bible. And if you're not too familiar, you pray. Like I said, always pray for guidance, and then ask him to send someone to give you some clarity. And that way, each Sabbath, you're pulling off the grave clothes more and more. So it shouldn't take you 3 years, 4 years. But how can you put a timetable or something like that? And has a person been doing that all their lives? First of all, no one's born LGBTQ. Nah. Nope. They just changed that a few years ago, because I remember it used to be considered a mental condition. And then all of a sudden, a lot of persuasion and stuff, you know, took place. Now it's you're born that way. Nah, a man has an X and a Y, and women have two X's. That's it. It's a choice behavior. Now, the spirit can influence you. Spirits do influence you, but no one's born that way. Yahweh doesn't make does anything against his word. That's an abomination to him, so he would not have anyone born like that. So that's one that throws it out the window. That's a desire, a lust, like Romans 1:3 say, a lust that you choose to have. Somebody else sent me some apologize. Okay, bro. It's a long line, keep it moving. But as I was saying, so no one's born that way. I have family members that are in that. Yeah, I have a niece. She wasn't born that way. She was a young lady. She also had a child, a great nephew. So now she wasn't born that way. She chose to change that behavior. I have a cousin. She wasn't born that way either. She a year younger than me. Yeah. She has a daughter. A grown daughter. Yeah, they both of them had grown daughters. So they chose that lifestyle. My cousin goes to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And every text I get basically from my cousin, God be the glory, which yeah, I agree. God be the glory. That's true. My niece doesn't attend in church service, and she knows when she talks to uncle. So the society we're living in now is just like what Isaiah was told to proclaim. He said, woe to them they call evil good. They call good bad. Yahshua came along and said some woes also, just echoing the same words that he instilled and put in Isaiah, because he inspired Isaiah to say those words before he came in the flesh and walked. So this Pride Month, nah. But with the saints, as saints is Revelation, what, chapter 14 tells us in chapter 12. The patience of the saints, those who keep his commandments and his testimony. So that's where our job is. We can't get tired. I know you may have got tired of seeing, you know, LGBT. Everywhere I'm going now, we welcome LGBT. When were they never welcome? They've been welcomed in more establishments than I've been welcome to, because I'm a black man with a gold tooth. A cosmetic thing to make a person look at you like, But now I'm a little more accepted now, because why? Now you got the society now is tattooed down. But that's acceptable now, because why? That's what they're promoting. Public Hollywood figures and athletes. So, but LGBT never was not as I was growing up. There was a time that yes, they stayed in the closet, and yes, they was victims of abuse. But I'm not promoting that. I met a lady on the subway years ago, before this became Pride Month. She was on the subway, Christian lady, praise the Lord, everything on the month, praise the Lord, this and that. I'm seeing two young ones, I can't stand them. And God should kill them and this and that. I said, oh, don't you agree, brother? I said, no. Nah. He said, you got those strings on. I said, these strings are tough, friend. I said, so I remember Yahweh's commandments and don't go after my own mind. I said, no, I'm supposed to show them love, treat them with love and kindness. That's how you draw a person to Yahweh. I said, he loved them. She's like, no, he don't love them. I said, yes, he do. She was on a pastor that didn't teach correctly. I said, he loved them just as much as he loved you or me or anyone else in the subway. He just doesn't love the behavior that they're involved in, because he knows it's Hasatan that has deceived them, the two young men. And their parents, who allow them to go, oh, well, that's just them. And nah. So a lot of people think, no, you're not supposed to hate them. Nah. Love conquers hate. Light conquers darkness. That's just a deep form of darkness. But that's where we as children, our job is to keep the salt. We're the salt of the world and the light of the world. So we know salt preserves things. So we the preservers right now. As long as Yahweh allows us to be here, we're the ones who preserve. We're those lights. We're the ones to keep it. So look like no ray of light, no ray of hope. Yeah, Yahweh got one. They go little, just like stars in the sky. When it gets dark at night, you go have a chance to look up, see any star. Stars don't all be together sometimes. You might be clustered, but every now and then, look, you see one way over there twinkling, and one way over there twinkling. That's how we are. That's how he got us scattered. He got us scattered in this darkened world. Yahweh winning. But see, the news and the media, the newspapers, social media and all that, they wanted to have you believe, oh, Yahweh losing. Nobody do that. That stuff, antiquated stuff, outdated. That was back in the Bible time. Oh, no, sir, buddy. No, sir. Yahweh win. So he wanted us to be encouraged. Yeah, they had a big gay Pride Month. But we got the fourth month coming. Every one of these months is out. Because why? We letting our light shine to give the glory to the Father, like Matthew 5 said, the good works of the Father. So that's why, for the fellas, look at your friend when you want to choke somebody or do something out of character like that. You that light, you that ray of hope for someone, like Brother Ariel two Saturdays ago, when he said, people going look for those who are Yahweh's children. And how? That's why if you're a brother, it's important to wear your fringes. If your job allows it, because I know we're in time now, jobs don't allow certain things. But if your job, you allow it, wear it. If your job doesn't allow you, wear them outside. Be faithful to Yahweh. It's not about being perfect. No one is perfect but Yahshua. That's the only one walk the earth perfect. But he gave us a little of his spirit, his Holy Spirit that he talked about, that comforter, that when we decrease, we allow him to increase, and that perfection comes out just when he wanted and how much. like Paul said he had a thorn in his side. And I'm laughing because the last couple of weeks I had something in my side. But I said, like Paul said, keep me humble. Yahweh always keep me humble. Please keep me humble. That's one of my biggest prayers. And let me know in my infirmities, I'm strong. Why? Through Yahushua and HaMashiach who strengthen me. How I stay strong. Stay in the prayer, the connection, the tie. It's like the cell phone. Just thinking people kept in prayer as much as they keep their cell phone in their hands. Some people. I know people keep their cell phone in their hands so much that they forget it's in their hand. They go, my phone, I left my phone. I'll be like, which one? My phone, the one I always carry. Like, it's right there in your hand. Like, oh, my goodness. Thank you. And I thought about it one day. I said, man, this thing, man, Yahweh. And that's a phone. That's, you know, it made me think, I said, man, I need to get in here and say my noonday prayer. You say prayer free without ceasing. I need to get back on my noonday. I need to get back on my just prayer. Put a headphone, put an earplug in your ear. You don't worry about, I don't worry about what people think or say. But you do have to be mindful. Because you don't want the person thinking, oh, he talk out of here. He talks to himself every day. Put an earplug in so he think he talking on the phone. He walk, I said, oh, excuse me on the phone, I talk to you. I said, no, I'll get back with you. I'm praying, I'm talking to Yahweh. But I just thought about it. People use it, had their phone in their hand so much, and talk on their phone so much. Or, Yahweh, how Yahweh feel? He thought, man, they don't talk to me that much. Only when they want something. Well, I was guilty like that. Then I got like a little stubborn baby, like, I ain't talking to you. You never give me what I asked for. Sort of like, that's why I went there well to it. Master by Acts chapter 5:67. I was like, oh, yeah, I feel you. Yeah. And then that ones that don't even talk on the phone, like I ride a bus, transportation, constantly looking down on the phone. So can you imagine if you was reading your words in a month? I'm not saying you got to do that, but I'm just saying, just like 24 hours a day, and like Yahweh asked for a tie, a tail. This thing kind of incorporate something like that. Like, you know what? I'm going to decrease off as much as I be. I'm not one on social media, so I guess it's easy to say for me. But okay, I can use myself for now. Like, use myself and my family. I used to be a sport fanatic, but none of that means anything no more. You know, I'll buy something for us. Sit in the company of somebody in the atmosphere, but now whoever won. I didn't even know Kerry how the Warriors won. Golden State Warriors won, beat the NBA Finals, beat the Boston Celtics. I thought they were showing the old championship to Kerry. The Warriors won 3 before. I'm thinking, like, okay, they're showing one because I know they still playing. So, somebody told me, like, man, the game, it was over Thursday. Yeah, I was sitting up in the emergency room in the hospital Friday, going like, oh, they showing me to that. And I had to laugh. But it just thinking we especially with the phone, like I said, the communication, that thing stuck out to me. We stay like that. And how we, like I said, we stay charged up on that. And we wash our minds with renewing what his word. And then we wait on Yahweh. I'm not saying he come overnight. Sometimes he do. Now I understand what grandma and them said. Might not come when you call one of them. That's not all the time. Sometimes he do. But he sure come on time. And we got scriptures in there, Deuteronomy. And one case come to my mind, another case. He said, I will answer your prayer. Oh yeah, Matthew 6 and Luke 11 said also. He said, I'll answer the prayer before you bring it off your lips at times. If it's according to his will, like 1 John say, we know by believing the HaMashiach Yahushua, that anything we ask, he would grant it. See, people teach people that, but they don't teach the whole thing to according to Yahweh's will, because Yahweh has a plan for people's salvation, and everyone's a part of it, whether they know it or not, whether they comply to it and realize, like myself, to give in and go, true, this the way, this is what you want me to do. Even people that are stubbornly thinking it not, he still wish that no man perish. So he's still tugging at some people's souls. He, speaking on my behalf, myself, you know how to get his man, and for the women out there, you know how to get his women. You know how to get his man if he really wants you. That's just for someone, whoever out there thinking like,
I ain't really ready for that yet. I'm waiting till I retire, get old, maybe about 60 or 70. I'm going to do like the thief on the cross, one of the thieves on the cross. I'm going to wait then. You might not get slide in, buddy, like the thief on the cross. That was that thief on the cross. Day of salvation. It just happened. His day of salvation was right there. That was his last chance. So, because once you die, like Ecclesiastes said, the dead knows nothing. But who's a person? Don't wait that long. You may not can't talk like the thief on the cross. You may be in a coma. And may not come out of a coma like some people. Have a home, a buddy that didn't never come out that coma. And I wanted, like, man, if my man Rogers, did he ever accept that? Yeah, I wish I had just got in the walker before everybody thought I was a Muslim. Like, man, Muslim now again, yo? Not funny, but, yeah, don't do the thief on the cross. Because to tell you truthfully, I can tell my sons, the young men, they range from like 35 in August. I'm going to be 28 in November. So, his brother Donnell, he's like January 32, 30 months or something. No date is promised. It's like Paul says, the date is your day of salvation. That spirit tugging at you, or bringing things to your mind, or letting you see things in your life. Like I shared with somebody, from a sister-in-law, when her son passed last month. This funeral was this month, early beginning of this month. I told her, like I always try to share with people that lost loved ones, or loved ones are perishing. I come to find out it's not for the person that passed, the deceased, because they're no longer here. Their time was when they were living. It's for the surviving members of the family to examine themselves to see if, like, okay, when I do expire, whoa. See, that's what the pastor or the minister that conducts a going home ceremony at funerals, that's what he should be focusing on, instead of trying to catch on people's emotions and get a bunch of crying. No, he should have the people that's in there, sitting there, listening and hearing that, and when they leave, still have hear something echoing like, man, yeah, I do expire. Or my family, I'm here in my family, my wife, or my kids. Man, I need to work. That's what it's supposed to be about. Not trying to see how many people. Like, I had everybody in there cry. She did a good job, Pastor Sherry. No, that's not what it's about. But that Pride Month thing, and so we're going to get back on it. I went off a little bit. But get to see that this month that went by, this was a critical, this month here, Yahweh gave a Ten Commandments. So we look at, like, in the beginning of the year, what did he do? He gave the ways of salvation, what? Put the blood on the lens. Hallelujah. That's the first month of the year. He said, let the beginning of it. The second one, Ziph. What we know about Ziph, a lot of things, but Ziph is what? Solomon got to build a temple that his father David desired to do. So that's laying the foundation. So he gave us order, decency. He gave us the sacrifice. The way, the opening, the way to get to salvation, why his son giving his life, Yahushua HaMashiach. That's the only way to the Father. As Yahushua told them in John 14:6, when Philip asked, show us the Father. He said, if you see me, I've been with you all the time. If you see me, you see the Father. Because what he was saying, the works I do, I only do what the Father asked me to do. So if you see me, that's why he can say, I and the Father is one. I do nothing of my own. That's why the Father said, this is my son. After he got baptized, he said, a voice said, that's my son who I'm well pleased. He would have said that if God sure didn't do his son and do what he did. So that's why I had a conversation with someone on my job. So, well, that's how we get down. I'm like, who is we? Like, well, Christians, we believe this and that. Because he went to the Afran and seen some those black Hebrews. And he came in and talked, you know, was talking a little something. When I heard him speak Deuteronomy 28, try to kick a little something. I said, hey, man, I ain't really impressed with words and knowledge. If I said, because a lot of people just throwing words and knowledge out to say so. I said, I'm following through on things or doing things. And they said, well, you got to study all books. I said, nah, you don't got to study things because you can't just get everything from the Quran. You trust in the Holy Quran. I said, first of all, brother, I said, no disrespect. I used to study it with my big brother back when I was a young man. I said, that's not nothing related to God. I said, well, you that can help. I said, I take that back. That can help you. I said, because a real believer, that person that's following that faith, you got to abide in the first five books of what they call the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So that's what a real Muslim supposed to abide by. And I told him, if you abide by those first five books, like Brother Kudlow called me, Brother Wendell called me a couple weeks ago, and shared a revelation that Yahweh shared with him about the woman at the well or something. And he was saying, man, he was talking, man, look what you said. What is it? Man. He said, yeah, I know, bro. I said, you let me see something. Because he was talking about the Samaritans. Bro, when it goes down, he said, she told him we worship here in this mountain. And Yahshua said, we worship in Jerusalem. You know not what you worship, John chapter 4. And we both said, man, guess what? It lets you know. He said, it lets you know it's enough in that first five books right there to follow. They'll find Yahweh. I said, and Yahshua too, hallelujah. Because he said, Lord, I come in the volume of the books. He said that in Hebrews. He repeated that in Hebrews, the author who penned in Hebrews, where inspired the author to write it in Psalms, chapter 40, verse 7 and 8. So he coming in the volume. So the first five books that a Muslim was told to do, if he truly trying to seek God, Allah, you ever say Allah? He said, oh, bro, he can't say that. He has to do Allah. It's a title. Daniel is found in the book of Daniel. In the Hebrew and where it's spelled. So Allah is just a title, just meaning God. But his name is Yahweh. But yeah, if you really seek him, and that was your path, and people say, you can, I read something, they say all paths, you can go any path, but it'll lead to one way. No, it won't. You can't even do that out in the street if you're on a roadway. Because I went somewhere one time, just stayed on the path, they didn't go straight. It did end. It went into a cul-de-sac, what they call it, Baltimore, Maryland. I don't know if people had it. Probably have it in other states. A cul-de-sac, so all roads don't lead because by that cul-de-sac going like a little U. And that's all she wrote. I couldn't ride through. And the funny part was about it. I forgot what part of Maryland this was. If I rode through their house, you know, behind their house, it was off of the water. So that means I would have to get in a boat and keep on going. And now I don't know a thing about nautical. So it may look and appear if I keep going through their living room and then jump in the boat and go on across the boat. When I get to that area, my destination that I was told to deliver to, I doubt it seriously. Because it looked, you know, it may look like, oh, yeah, just going across all that water over there. And the street probably on that side. When I got finally around there, went over the bridge and found the right way to go, I looked back and was wondering, like, where's that house at, you know, if you could. No, so all paths, well, that's a lie. So when people try to tell a person that, you know, hey, God, some people just call them, and the sad part, like, when I'm getting that with the guy, I'm supposed to be a Christian. You should know that. That's in John chapter 14. Most Christians, all they know is the New Testament. That's all they talk about. New Testament, we have the blood, we this and that. You should never have that come out your mouth. Talking about all paths, Buddha, Islam, Confucius, yin-yang, or whatever, karma. When he told him, Philip, you seen me, you seen the Father. No man can come to the Father but by me. So a lot of people, they just saying their things And like I tell a person, I say, no, your grandmother is a Baptist or was a Baptist. You're not nothing because you're not practicing anything. You just parroting. Or you connected because your grandmother took you to church when you were little. You're 44 years old. That don't count. Yahweh don't even count that. In his word, he say, thank damn well, and Brother Yaakov, Grandma said that. They came out of Ezekiel, repeated Ezekiel. We said, all the good you done, that's like me, Shabbat El. I've been trying to do good, trying to live right. And I flip and turn back to the way back in the day way. They done. Same way he say in Psalms 103, when you ask for forgiveness, I'll throw all your sins and iniquities in the sea of forgiveness. He won't never bring them up. No more. Well, that's the difference when Yahweh and man. See, man will bring them up. Remember what you did back in the... Oh, now you holy now and sanctified and all that. Yeah, remember back in the day, or back in 1989, see, a person will go way back to 89. That's not me no more, brother. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm a new creature. And Yahushua HaMashiach, I think it's chapter 5, verse 17 to 20, or 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 20, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and all things are in the past now. That's the other way. I'm a new creature. I walk in another way, like they will say. I don't practice sinning no more. I don't wake up perfecting how to make false tags anymore to make a illegal living. I perfected that. I got nice in that. People rather come to me and go for false tags and go, man, why don't you get your, instead of, you know, you think I'm going to tell them, yeah, you need to get your, that's what the motive Mar down to get you some real tag, man. No, that's why I laugh when we read the book of Ephesus. When the Temple of Diana and silver merchants, they wanted to beat Paul up, like, get him out of here, he's messing up our business. He telling people it's Yahushua, and you don't worship no idols. He messing up my money, man, my bread. I laughed because I said, I remember me. I wasn't telling nobody to go to Mon Dom and Glen Branch and get you some real tag. Like, come on, what you trying to do? All right, come on, I got you. Yeah. But yeah, see, people pull back what you did. Like, yeah, now you're so holy. Yes, I'm trying to be. Like I said, I'm not perfect yet, but it's a daily thing, and I keep pulling down them strongholds and bringing them under the beast. You know, eventually, I'm going to see that. But I'm faithful. I learned something over a couple months, a couple years. Yahweh is a faithfulness because he the only one can perfect you like he put what gold through the furnace, silver through the furnace to get the impurities out and all that. Only he can do that. And he know what it takes to do that for each individual. For me, he put me in a little more fire than some people. He said, oh, he is high price. Just don't believe it yet. Let me, you got to stand that little up. Look, the three Hebrew boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they say how many hours they was in there, whatever, but came on out. Me, he probably still like, I'm in there with you, but you're gonna stay in here for a while. Do you get it? See, everybody, you know, everybody got, Yahweh know what it takes to get a soul. He created the soul. He made us out of dirt, it said. Dirt, dust, soil, yeah. And it said, Genesis 2:7, he formed man out of dirt, which was something dead, organism that he created, and he blew the breath of life in it and made it live. And to this day, mankind still exists. That's why I laughed at Sister Martha sent a text out of Tucker Carlson in the news a couple nights ago about a computer program or a robot engineer. I was like, yeah, the robot guy. I'm like, it's a robot, homeboy. Okay, it says something that whatever. It's not a human being. No matter how hard they try, it's impossible. The person just died a couple of weeks ago that the artificial pig heart or the pig heart. I mean, my dad had heart disease. He died from that. He came out with a plastic heart. So, yeah, they're getting good with the organs and all that. But to make a man, to actually make a man or a woman, they're doing a pretty good psyching people out. Giving you hormone shots for your man so you go press. Yeah, deep voice, you know, I'm a bird. Oh, yeah, I'm a bird. Yeah, or a woman, Like, how you doing? I'm Robin. I'm Robin. Yeah, how you doing? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you still a woman. You still a man. So they trying to, that's the far they gonna get with that. Unless they build a Bela Lugosi. Like, is it Bela Lugosi? I always messed them two up. Frankenstein creator. Frankenstein, probably don't even know, only old people know who Frankenstein is. He got made. And if you make something like that, they've been trying for years. They even showed the movies when that was in black and white, so that was when my mother father was young. Man, that's how long man been trying to do this thing, trying to make a man. The same thing happened to the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter, was it 9 and 10? That's the same thing that happened when you try to do that. It's going fair. And even if you did make the man, if Yahweh put his spirit in that creation of yours, it eternal. It kind of remind me of RoboCop when I was back in the day, a movie called RoboCop, Police of the Future. And RoboCop 2 or 3 came out, he turned bad, he was a gangster. I ain't see it, but I heard about it. Like, RoboCop, yeah, man, he turned hard. Another agency made another competitive one. Like, he's better than RoboCop. He was beast. But anyway, that's what's going to happen with mankind going at us. Okay, what time? 8:31. Good. And then this month, like I said, what else is in that? Okay, some other four things. Roe versus Wade. But a lot of people not familiar with Dobbs versus Jackson. Dobbs versus Jackson really caused the influence on the Roe versus Wade to be overruled. Dobbs was a doctor in Mississippi, and Jackson was, a women's organization, you know. And so with the Constitution, if you're not familiar, what happened on June, I think it was June 24th, last Friday, what happened was the Supreme Court did their job correctly this time. I don't know if it's a setup. You got to watch them, because remember, they just elected. And when I say Jackson, I'm not talking about the first female African black Supreme Court justice to sit on the bench, woman that they nominated last month. Was that last one? It was April, I think it was. A couple months ago, yeah. But I'm not talking about that because her name is Jackson. No, this is different. You look it up. That's why I said it was kind of just a setup, because he asked this lady one of her questions, the panelist asked her, one of the senators asked her, define a woman for me. And she said, this is very difficult. And I said, man, this lady educated. She's a lawyer. She's a judge. She went to law school. This lady took some biology. This lady smart, and she a woman. That's the funny story. Like, she is a woman, right? So I was like, where this going at in the future? But that's why I said this one was kind of like making me wonder what we're setting us up for. Because why they did with the job of a Supreme Court justice doing that well in high courts in the United States of America, they're not supposed to. If anybody knows, studies a lot and stuff like this, political science, or the cops, they're not supposed to make laws. They're supposed to interpret them correctly. And what that kind of reminds me of, like in the scripture, you had Sadducees, Pharisees, Kohen, priests, and then you had a group called the scribes, where they knew more in detail and depth. They were the ones entrusted to write the Torah scrolls in the Bible. So, you know, that's why if you ever wonder why it always said the Pharisees and the scribes came, what's the difference? Yeah, because the scribes were more detailed. That's why if you ever noticed, they were the one always try to ask Yahshua something too, like, well, you got the Pharisees, but let me check this out. What must I do? And who is my neighbor? And what's the greatest commandment? You're going to try to trip up the law, the word that you got good at, that you got a big head thinking you the man, that you got good at. That's him in flesh now. You're going to trip them up with his own word. You crazy. But that's what pride, foolish pride is doing. I ain't saying it was LGBT pride, Q pride, but that pride is dangerous and get you puffed up. But like I said, they interpreted the law the correct way, because why? They didn't make a bill. They didn't, that means they didn't force a law. They did what they job. That's the job of the United States Constitution. You got to take it up there, you get appeals, and you go for it. They interpreted, they came to the decision that abortion is not a fundamental constitutional right. And you got to think about people. Say, I heard people say, oh, yes, it is. Why not? That's a woman's right. That's her body, her choice. That, oh, we're talking about the Constitution, laws. I can't get an abortion because we're talking about human constitution. I can't. I'm a male. So if you get technically and break it down, no, they will actually be absolutely correct. But my thing is, what are they going to bring down the pipe now? They define that one good. What are they going to change in Switzerland? Well, we see how things been changed. And so now people say, it took 50 years, Roe v. Wade was getting, it just knocked the gas out of it and all that. But like a person can't, now people want, of course certain states are going to ban it. But we know we live in the United States, some states are going to ban it. It's 50 states in the 50 states, 52 states. He's my good son. 50 states. That's right, Alaska. We bought Alaska from Russia. I forgot who we got Hawaii from. They the last two. But anyway, some states going to allow it, and some states not going to allow it. And then people are trying to push it like, well, it's going to cause people to go underground and get illegal abortions. And that. No, no, no. That's not what it should cause a person to do. Because see, what a person has to realize, but if that got passed, what some people push, I've seen a couple things on YouTube some months ago, what people were pushing was 15 weeks or something. I said, man, 15 weeks? I had it like 4 times 3 is 12. So that's like 4 or 5 months. I think somebody pushing like, yeah, 8 months. That's 6 months, 8 months, 7 months. That a woman can say, I don't want this baby. I don't know if you're 6 or 8 months pregnant. And the person talking about, is it life? Is it not life? It's life the minute that doctor, the minute you wake up and I never had one. I got someone pregnant. But the minute you wake up and women can test this, you don't feel right like your normal self. Your stomach upset, you vomit or something, you don't have any desire, then you don't have something that a woman, God gave a woman, a monthly menstrual cycle that normally comes. I mean, it may not come, I don't think so, that, but I do know you have it. They say, I got to go buy Kotex tampons for my mother. And that's why it didn't bother me. My fiance or my wife said, hey, can you pick me up? So, yeah. It ain't for me. I'm a man. I don't care if I'm standing in line. Long story short, if you notice it never came when it normally comes, then you go get your checkup, and the doctor say, hey, let me use me, my name. I don't have a wife no more. Mrs. Franklin, you're pregnant. That's why you're not feeling yourself. Like, oh, man, that's a life right there. Forget it that, like, well, they tell you in science class, well, after the third week, your ears grow and they can hear, and then the nose, the eyes, and I know I'm saying it all over for those who know that. You know, I apologize for that. You know what I feel? It's a life once you realize that. That's why Yahweh gave you that menstrual cycle. So all that, well, it wasn't formed yet. It was it's a life right there. Why? That sperm, the toast, that kicked that egg, that made those X chromosome meet up, the XY chromosome, or which one meet up with that XX, that was life right there. Yahweh had the process of life. So let Yahweh be Yahweh. He's been doing this for thousands of years. People had to be mindful. He made a man out of dust. That's all he told us in Genesis. And put spermatozoa in the man, then put him to sleep. And pulled a woman out the man's rib out the side, took his rib and made a woman too, and put eggs in her. So he said, now you both be fruitful and multiply. So then I thank Yahweh, Dr. Yahweh, physician, the master physician. I think you let him handle that when it's a life. But yeah, we have to be careful now in society we live in, because what are they maybe bringing down the pipe? The A40 is almost so. So that's why I said, like I said, I didn't have a lesson. I'm reading a lot of stuff, asking Yahweh. And I don't like the force of push nothing. But like I said, I found it interesting. A B, he gave salvation. That's the first month. And he gave what? The main thing that gets you to God, the heaven, as people want to go to, or the Creator, salvation. But tell any Christian or any person, your salvation is Passover. It behooves you to pray and ask Him to give you understanding of that, and to let a person, don't never let a person tell you that's for the Jews. No, that's for mankind. That's mankind. Really, if he could be selfish, if he was alive right now, you know, we could talk to him one day when we get there, meet him. Adam could step up and say, well, you know, how you doing? I'm Adam. Yeah, I'm the first man. I'm the first son, you know, father here on earth. And how you doing? And you know, Yahshua, technically, you know, he came back for me. You know, he came back for me. Hey. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Right? By one man's death, one man's sin, maybe all of them born in sin, but one man's death, maybe we all were born in righteousness. We said it. So, yeah. Your salvation starts with the Passover. Same way every religion claims, every religion, like I told the brother on the job, we had a discussion. Abraham is a Muslim, if you're a Muslim. Ibrahim, as they call him, Abraham. Jewish, Abraham, Ishmael, what's another? Oh, and Christian, Abraham. Now, Christians won't do take the Ishmael, and even the Jews, Islam will take the Ishmael to promote what how they want things to go. The Jews will take Isaac, Yitzhak, and the Christians take Isaac. And I tell a person, you can't claim you blessed in the city and blessed in the fields and you claiming the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're not following and doing the commands that God, that Abraham did. That's why he called Abraham my friend, said in Genesis. He said, Abraham won't teach his children. That's so you can't claim those things. You can't claim that. That's the only way you claim it. And then I said, it starts with your salvation. It starts with that Passover, accepting that. So for a person to cry, I'm covered by the blood, holy, sanctified, and I believe. Yes, he does say you have to believe and confess. But you have a work to do. And no, it's not legalism. It's doing the what's the word? Acceptable will that's pleasing the Father, following His commands. And it's hallelujah. I stand corrected. I was one to say, tell a person, but just like that, following one of all roads lead to God. Nah, Buddha ain't going to get him to you. The confusion. I mean, nah. And like I said, it is Muslim so far. They got, if they do what they do, if you can follow the first five, like told, and then they come to the mind and say, I found them. Then they good to go. They found them. Leave that alone and come on with life. But all roads don't lead to that. And so a person had to realize that your salvation starts with what he gave the atonement. That's the only salvation that he accepts. You got to find the acceptable will of God. That's what he said in Ephesians. You once were outside the commonwealth. You was out of the ways of Israel. You worship and did all kinds of things. Like he told the lady at the well in John 4. You know not what you worship. You close, but that's not it. It's only one way, one acceptable way. And that's it. It sounds hard to me, but it's the truth. You can't go on your job and tell them I want to get paid on Tuesdays instead of this Friday every 2 weeks. They're even going to tell you, all right, then don't touch your money until Tuesday. Or they're going to tell you, you're going to have to find another place in Florida. It's simple as that. So like the brother said, Yahweh has a constitution. No, mankind don't want to follow rules. So then Yahweh gave us what? The second month, Ziph. Ziph is what? Building the foundation of his temple. Building his temple. Okay, so what can we learn from that physically? Our body, remember I said he gave us a permissible holiday called Hanukkah, which is an 8-day celebration of rededicating the temple. That's it got destroyed. You read about that in the book of Maccabees. That's what that was about. So now you're building your fountain. You got the salvation. First month, Yahshua, the Passover lamb that was slain for your sin. Then you build your foundation. That's your body, your temple. Then the third month, what? The Holy Spirit giving you his commandments and his word. Now we're in the fourth month. The fourth month, when I came across, I'll send it out, Father Jacob and Michelle. I meant to do it before the program, but I'm doing it right at the program, Father. I'll send you, like the new moon's coming in, hallelujah, of this fourth month, as moon. And in the fourth month, a significant thing happened also. The book of Ezekiel, he said, in chapter 1, he said it was the fourth month while he was with the captives at the river of Kebet. He said he saw a vision. Brother Ariel gave, we had a Bible study years ago with Brother Eliezer. That was one of our elders' house. And Brother Ariel said, hey, Yahweh showed me something. I was reading this damn word. And he shared it with us. He said, hey, Ezekiel, man, that ain't no flying saucer. He said that was the kingdom of Yah. And then we all said, whoa, and then, we all. All the brothers, I'm sure I did it. Went home and read that thing and said, oh, woo, yeah. Yahweh gave Ezekiel a glimpse, the vision. Same way he did it to Moshe and Aaron and the elders in Exodus when they came up to eat with him, the abide with him. So Yahweh still gives things to his people to show you, to keep you assured. That was thousands of years ago. So we as believers, we got to hold on. Keep the obey the commandments like Revelation's telling, Revelation 14 and 12. Keep his love, but and also his testimonies. And we got to be, like 2 Timothy say, chapter 4, in season, teach this word in season, out of season. This month, this one out survived wasn't no pride month. That was abomination month if you was doing in agreement with that. Yeah, like I said, the church sign, talking about every welcome here. One church sign said, love is love. No, that ain't true. Yahweh is love, but Yahweh is obedient too. And so he's not loving something. He can't love something that is detestable, abomination, or sin. So love is not love. Tough love is when you say, no, that's not acceptable. I'm sorry. But this is what's being taught now. That's why Timothy told us, 2 Timothy chapter 4, be in season, be out of season. So it's not hard. I'm not going to tell you it's easy to tell somebody when y'all come across them and you'll walk or something they say in their ear. You pray first and say, give me the words to dispense this word to them so they can help. So you do Jeremiah 1:10, you can down, rooting up. And then you're doing like Paul, you said, one plant, one water. If the Holy Spirit will get the increase, you pray on the Father, and then bam, you say what he said. So no, love ain't love. But see, people now, churches teaching it. So who's standing, like Rabbi always said, who's standing for you? Who's speaking on the behalf of Yahweh? And that's where that's the time we live in right now. And these Bible times is no different than Elijah had to battle the 900 prophets. 800 prophets of Baal. The First Kings, that 17, 18. Nothing different. So we in the same times now. We in the same time, just different era, but we still battling. The battle still exists. What the battle of Amalek to destroy Amalek? Amalek, Satan, high Satan. He has his demons, and he's trying to. To see many people he can, because remember Matthew 13 also tells you what? The wheat, the tares will grow with the wheat. It's not harvest time. Harvest is in the seventh month, not July. Yahweh's seventh month, what we call Itanim, when his fall feast takes off. The other four fall feasts, three in the spring, four in the fall. That's why we still have to keep on planting the seed. Like I said, that false prophet that was on TV that day in the emergency room, but I muted. I didn't cut it off. I just muted. Planting the seed is not no money. Planting the seed is the word of God. That's in Matthew 13, and you see that. I don't care who told you. I don't care how rich he is or how many jets or cars he has. Planting the seed is not $1,000. No, if you and not plant, you want a bountifully harvest, plant 5 or 10,000. You know, the more you get, the more seed you plant. The more seed you plant, the more your harvest is born. No. No, it's the word of God. And that's why we got to stand firm in this time. We're not men pleasers, like Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 and 13, 7 and 13. Nah, I'm not doing this to be a man pleaser because I close it up. I never was a man pleaser when I was out in the world. So now I'm on Yahweh team and his family, and I'm going to be a man pleaser and worry about what somebody say. Yeah, I'm like my brother Abel. He's more eloquent spoken than I am. Yeah, I'm not trying to deliberately hurt no one's feelings, not like that. But when it comes to dust, say Yahweh, I'm bringing that thing just like he said, because people had to understand the same spirit. It's that same spirit when he said, Luke 4:4, when he closed that scroll of Isaiah and said, I read this, this been fulfilled this day. Mm-hmm. So he's different than the Pharisees, man. He speak with authority. That's not me. That's not me. That's the authority of Yahushua HaMashiach. That's not my word. That's not my word. But now that he got me on this thing, I got to do what the Father say. Oh, y'all, well, anybody know me? I had a couple pieces of paper. So, man, what are you? But he was like, no, you're not doing it. You just don't talk. I got a couple pieces of paper, some things I wrote down last month, this last week. 2 days ago, couldn't write nothing down today because it was working. Today I was driving, working, everything. But that'd be for from later day. But what we had to realize now in this fourth month, Ezekiel got to see the vision of heaven. So we put ourselves in these things. We know the salvation. We are God at the month of Abib, like Deuteronomy 16. Then now the foundation of the temple, we know that temple was destroyed that one that went up to Jerusalem. But we know he said woman in John 4:22. The time has come, Yahweh, you're not going to worship in the mountains or you're going to worship in the temple. He's looking for people that worship him in the spirit of truth. So people got to come out of her, my people. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians or chapter 6 or 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Revelation. Come out of her. She's the mother of harlots. Looks beautiful. Looks splendid. Come out of her. There's a way to sing, right? But that way leads to death. And you got to ask yourself, am I worried about being somebody's friend or everybody likes me? Like the show came out when I was growing up. I was a place called Cheers.
Want to go where everybody knows my name.
Hey, no, man. Nah, this ain't Cheers. I mean, it's Cheers. But this one, most places where I go, my name may be known like, yeah, that brother with them strings, he gonna say something about the Bible or something. Just trust me. Or you ask him, he gonna tell you. But God say, God, my son got him, he said, well, you need to do something. He said, I said, I do it, son. I stay in that word and read that word. I said, Yahshua gave us the antidote. To what you mean? I said, John 4, get a chance to read. He got tempted by Hasatan and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, all 22 power. The Holy Spirit. And every time Hasatan, Satan came up to him with something, I told my son, he said, it is written. That's what my son said, you need to get you something. Dad, I said, what I need to do is continue what I'm doing and do it more. I said, he said, what's that? I said, stay in that word of God. I said, oh yeah, he asked for like a stress, what you do for stress reliever? You got a new job, I'm saying, it's not stressful, but it's not exciting like his job. They gave him a task that somebody left. So that's why I'm not too interested. That's why I said, stay in that word of God. I said, because man can't live off of bread alone. I said, Yahshua gave us the antidote. He told us to put on the forearm in Ephesians chapter 6, right? What else? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, he told us the fruit of the Spirit, 9 of them. What else he told us to do? Oh, he told us Romans 12, 1. These are just a few things. He told us live your life a living sacrifice, a daily sacrifice. You remember, back in the day, when the temple was up, it was two sacrifices every day. And more was one when the feast time comes. You can read that in Numbers chapter 29. But it was two sacrifices every day. A sunset, evening, like we just get ready to come in now, they were sacrificing. And then in the morning, that went on daily every day. And not counting other additional sacrifices when holy days would come. And that's why Paul tells Romans 12, make your life a daily sacrifice. You dare daily be a holy, acceptable will to the Most High. That's what we do as believers. And we just stay in his word. Because he said in Deuteronomy, Yahshua, all he did was repeat Deuteronomy 8:4-8. Man cannot live off of bread alone, but every word proceed out of the mouth of Yah. Anything that you're dealing with in life or what's coming on life or whatever, and people seem stumped, you can't stump the Father and the Holy Spirit. You can't stump them. It's in his word. But you have to believe that and follow that. So like I said, now this month, we're in the month of Ezekiel said, Yahweh showed them the vision of the temple. So, showed him the kingdom. I take that back. Ezekiel did the vision of the temple. Ezekiel, that's not, but Yahweh showed, and later on in the book, Ezekiel did see the vision of the temple. But in this beginning, he's seen the kingdom of heaven first. He's seen the kingdom before the throne, hallelujah. He's seen the throne in the beginning in Ezekiel chapter 1. And then later on, like 40th chapter, 37th chapter, Ezekiel got to see the temple. But you know that they all connected. And a good one for everybody to look at, Rabbi Yaakov has one on YouTube. It came out two months ago. It's called Understanding the Torah, but it's the priesthood. I never jump in nothing midway because I'm one to say, you can't look at coming to movie, what is it, 2-hour movie, you come in an hour and a half, or you can't. Well, this time I stand corrected. I don't recommend, I'm going back though when it's over, this show, because I fell asleep last night. I'm on number 4. But I jumped in on number 7 for some reason last week. And number 7, Understand the Priesthood, had me open my mind so good. I said, oh my goodness. If anybody having a problem with understanding why we do and obey the Torah, why we still doing those Jewish things or these things, and there's no temple and all that, when you look at understand 7, we're looking at all of them, but I came in at 7 for a reason, hallelujah. Brother Yaakov El Rabbi broke it down how the temple, we still connected. We are the temple. He told that lady, it made me understand himself so clear. So when a person says, you don't have to buy by them no more, ain't no more temple, ain't no more, you crazy. Yahshua is the temple. The temple, all that stuff, what I got, I could be wrong when my brother texted me tonight or called me if I'm that wrong. The temple always was Yahshua. Revelation 5 said they crying, who's all crying for? Who we got to open? He said, one stuff said, I can open that scroll. Give it here. Yahshua. Revelation 22 said, ain't going to be no sun. No need for the sun, because the glory of the Father and the Son together is going to be the radiant. No need for some water. No need for that. So to say we don't have a temple to go to no more, so that's why you don't have to go on the Saturday. That's why you ain't got to abide by none of the Ten Commandments that he gave in the month of Zion that we just left at sunset. I'm looking out there now, hallelujah. I don't see the moon where I'm at, but I'm just saying hallelujah. I know Brother Aki, I'll be Christ here. Him and Yaakel and Harry, they always get. But, yeah. What you mean we ain't no temple? Now, sure is the temple. That's what it all pointed to anyway. Brother Marielle told me this about 50 years ago. If that's the case, why are you going to church every Sunday? Why are you reading your Bible? If it's all done away with the cross, he is our Passover. You ain't got to do the Passover. You ain't got to do the Feast of Unleavened Bread day one, first day of 7 days, even though God tell you to do that. You ain't got to count the 7 weeks of the Omer. You ain't got to present the first fruit of that wheat harvest right after the Passover. Then you ain't got to count the 7 weeks leading up to that and the two offerings. You ain't got to do Shavuot. You ain't got to do you ain't got to do blowing of the trumpets in the first day of 7 months. You ain't got to do Day of Atonement, 7 days, 7 months. You ain't got to do Sukkot, leave your temporary. Yeah, because people don't want to do that one, boy, but they love the Lord. They don't want to leave their permanent dwelling, though. They love the Lord, but they want to go to heaven one day. They had to ask themselves. I had to ask myself. I thought about this one day. They want to go to heaven one day. You got people now, especially the rapture believers. You got people around you, but we ain't gonna be here that long. Look how the world going. The rapture coming. I'm gonna be out of here. Oh no, buddy. You don't even want to do 7 days out in the wilderness in a tent. So you trying to bounce out now? You want a rapture way out? There ain't no rapture. Only way you gonna get out of this, anything like that, if your number is up and God said time for you to lay down to the great white judgment. Time for you to lay down. Other than that, he ain't swooping nobody out here nowhere. Whenever go down, you gonna be right here when they go down. But see, nobody wants to do that. And then the eighth day, but it's all done away with. But you still going to church and doing all that. It's crazy. He is the temple. Another thing what I got to see when he said that blew my mind is, if the law is done away with, then well, towards Sabbath, he broke down Paul, when Paul used an analogy about the wife, I think it's Romans chapter 6 and 7, and that made me see it, open it up, and I'm like, can't all say more. If the law is done away with, and we don't have to abide by none of those things no more, because he fulfilled it and all that, if you don't have to abide by it no more, Paul says, if a woman is married to a man, and she's still obligated, she's still as that man's wife until he dies, that's the only way she's from it. So what I'm getting at is Yahshua died. Yes, he did. And people try to tell you Colossians chapter 2, 10, 14, 10, he nailed the things to the cross. No, he didn't. He's not even talking about that. He's talking about some other ordinances. He died, but he raised up 3 days later. So guess what? Them laws still apply. They still, what they say, you can't say they're non-applicable. And they still apply. Because you say a tester of a testament, of a will, like we say a will, you only receive the money or the inheritance when the person passed. Only one account we see in Luke with the prodigal son. He lucky he ain't had my father coming up to my head, pops, give me my money now. Basically, he said, you ain't dying fast enough. I know you're getting old. Now you're getting more spunk in your day to day. I can't wait for you to die. Give me my money now. Man, my father, he would have cursed me out and probably punched me too. But you ain't getting nothing. You ain't going to get up when I die. Now, it really made me mad. But yeah, that even shows us when he came to his senses, he went back. But you don't get any inheritance or receive a testimony of a will until a person deceased, and then you receive it. God sure rose from the, if he didn't raise, then all that stuff is over with. It's null and void. But he rose again. So it's all effectively. It just was, you can't say, well, you can say, not even on a pause. It just was on like a little, I guess, chill for 3 days, 3 nights. But it never was on a cross, because the Father always constantly working, because why? That was fulfillment of his word. Because Isaiah, when he says, 55, my word not going to come back, boy. My ways higher than your ways. My thoughts higher than yours. So that's when people talking about, yes, so what? So if you believe in Yahshua, the Son of God, you come by the blood, you holy sanctified and all that, you better get your salvation with that Passover next year. You better pray this blowing of the trumpet, the 7 month, not July that's coming on Friday, the 7 month with Yahweh call. You go to Leviticus chapter 23. You better pray that first day of that 7 month blowing of the trumpet, and that's not over. Because that's what that one that is talking about in 1 Thessalonians says, the blowing of a trumpet, the archangel, the sound of an archangel. But the feast days point to salvation. They ain't for no Jews. They for mankind. People had to get themselves together. And then you look at the Day of Atonement. Woo, I made it. That trumpet blew. The trumpet didn't blow yet. No. So the 10th day, yeah, I'm atoned. Forgive me. Okay, then the Sukkot. I'm going to abide. I'm going to leave my permanent dwelling and stay temporary. Because you're not going to be here forever. We want to be like Abraham, looking for a city that man hands didn't make, but God is the maker. That's Yahshua. That's the city. That's the gatekeeper himself standing at the gate in John 10. Every pastor, you're supposed to be emulating a good shepherd, not with that cheap old door. Well, what time is it? Okay, now I don't say what I'm talking about. But yeah, so how can the nerve of a person when you go claim you're a Christian, you believe in the blood, and you sanctify the Lord, and you don't abide by the laws that he gave. The things he say do, you say, you let somebody tell you you don't have to do that. We covet. The thing he say don't do, you say, oh, we can do that now. God is love. Love is love. You can marry whoever you want. Yes, you can. Oh, brother, you going to go get, yeah. But you going to pay, you going to have a judgment. Yeah, I can't tell you what you do. If that's what you feel, you feel strong and compelled to do that, I'm going to tell you, though, I'm going to be in season and out of season. I ain't a man pleaser like, you can't marry that person. I'll be just like John the Baptist. That's our example. Hey, John the Baptist, yeah, he's coming. Yeah, he's coming. Yeah. He got his head cut off. That's a bad example. You know why? He told the king, hey, man, you're wrong. What you mean I'm wrong? You can't marry your brother's wife, man. But people say they was Romans. They do what they want. They go let you show you that sin is sin. John the Baptist had no problem telling him that. Because why? There's only one lawgiver and one constitution. I don't care what nation and where you live at around the world. There's one God, Ephesians, what, 4 say? Or Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5. One God, one faith, and one baptism. So all that other stuff, it's just figments of your imagination, like Yahshua said, yeah, many gods, Lord, yeah, in your imagination. It's only one God. He told you that in Isaiah. If it wasn't other, I'd let you know. He got to let you know because he can't be a liar. So now these times we kind of come in, so we have to look, family. Where that temple, your body, your neighborhood, and the places you work, that's the nations that he set people out to. We got to break these things down, put them in a little category. You know, because Romans 7:14, like there, well, last about, we know that the Torah is spiritual. Yeah, read this on the paper because that's the letter of the law. But what's the more spiritual lesson that we can get out of it? Like David Wells said, Yahshua came to magnify. He didn't come to do away with anything. Matthew chapter 5, 17, 21. He came to magnify. So he magnified. He's still bringing light and light. That's why I said, look at anything. But if you want to get an understanding to help somebody, what? And if you heard Brother David Wells lesson this Saturday, you know, see, that's not our God. It was a wild line. But I told you, he came out of Romans 5-7, and he used the analogy Paul said. He came out of Romans or Acts? Yeah, Romans. Romans chapter 5-7. He used that analogy in chapter 7 about a woman in marriage, because that's what Yahweh gave Paul. And the same thing applied with that priesthood. That temple points to Yahweh, God, Yahshua. He's the body. So, yeah, there's no temple in Jerusalem. Yeah, we don't offer goats and bulls. I got that part. But there's nothing wrong with your lips to give them praise with your lips, like Hebrews chapter 13 says, new testament. Nothing wrong with you to go when you look at your calendar and he tell you today is the seventh day. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and you worship the Sabbath. That ain't done away with. That calendar is still there. So just because there's no temple in Jerusalem, you still can do those holy days because we're not in Jerusalem. They wasn't in Jerusalem either. They was out in the desert when he gave it to them, if I'm not mistaken, in Exodus. You can read that in Exodus, what, chapter 19, when he started the third month. So these things, and then he tell you when you come into your land. Joshua reinstituted some things, like rededicated some things when they came over into the land, because they had to get circumcised. Even Joshua still got circumcised when they came in and took over, came into the land to get over to the promised land when they crossed. These things still continue on. There's nothing new under the sun. Not with Yahweh. There's no new laws and commandments. They've just been buried. Just like if you're reading the Torah, you're reading the Bible, the kings or something, you see some kings, when they took over, they looked through somewhere, and somebody said, look, I found a book. Like, what is this? This is a Torah scroll. King, give me here. Read that. This is what's supposed to be done. Some king said, what? I can see Hezekiah coming to my mind. Josiah. They was like, what? We haven't been doing do this now. That's all has to be nothing new. Like Solomon said, at the time, destroy, tear, kill, cry, laugh, yep, but nothing new under the sun. So the same way in this book. Same way in this book. Times, things just got buried. The people doing their own thing. Remember, Judges said, it was a time there wasn't no king. Man did what he wanted to do. Oh, there always was a king. Yahushua is king. Always been a king. He always been a king. So you don't have no physical temple to go up in Jerusalem. You can't read your Bible. And your body is the temple. And you can't do what Yahweh, Constitution, His Ten Commandments, and His whole Bible tells you what to do. The people have to come out of that. Come out of the people. What time is it? 9:12. But 7:33. Yeah, that's it. But like I said, I had no lesson. I just wanted to share that with things that transpired during this month with me, talking to people, coworkers, and what's in the news, and what's coming up. But to stay focused, and Brother Ariel, Brother Ariel told a good Sabbath lesson a week or so before. And what I got out, I got what he got out, but I got something up. Man, I'm mad at my, I know I wrote notes. But what I got out of it is, that's something else. Yeah, I got him in the other notebook. Brother Dale, Brother Ariel, he on another page. But anyway, Brother Ariel taught his lesson 2 weeks ago on the Shabbat. He taught about a famine and how Yahweh was sharing with him about the famine. And what I got out of it too, he talked about how the world, how we see it on the news and media, they telling us about food shortages and things like this. I'm not saying that's not true. All throughout time, like Ariel said, look through the scripture. And Yahweh always gave his people notification. But I got out of it also, though, it's a famine. It's a famine is coming with food and all that drought. But it's a famine. It's been a famine. Like Amos stated, I think it was Amos. It's been a famine in the word of Moses. Been a famine in the word of God. I think that's Amos. I'm sorry. I apologize. That's famine thing going on. But we see it now. Churches now are doing what? All are welcome. Come as you are. You can come LGBTQ. And you can leave that way. And we can just come back every Sunday with your tithe. Love is love. We don't care who you love. Next thing you know, they're going to be coming in churches. And you say, you coming in my wagon? Yeah, where you wagon at right here? Where the bride or where the groom? Right there. That's your dog. We in love. He loves me too, don't he? This is what we be coming in. Because ain't nobody standing up for Yahweh and say, ho, come on now. Ain't nobody standing. John the Baptist. I might get my head cut. They might not cut my head off. They might say, we got something better. Okay. make him suffer so he can, don't take his eyes out. He cut his tongue out so he won't be able to talk. That's all right. I'm going to figure out another way. I look somebody in the eye and they might go, did he just say something? He just gave me a scripture. He can't talk, man. But I'm just saying, we have, it's a time we coming in. We don't know. Pretty soon they're gonna have, you're gonna see somebody marrying, like, you know, the Roman wickedness can't serve us up. Back how they used to marry little boys, 6 years old, 7 years old, little girls. You're gonna see all that come back. Ain't nothing new under the sun. Same way Yahweh said nothing new under the sun with him. I have to tell him the same way. He don't have nothing new. He just regurgitate, you know the word I'm trying to say. Bringing the old stuff over. If a person ain't in the Torah and the Word, and pay attention and stay in that Word of God, which you say, hey, that was in the Bible back then. You see the same thing over. Book of Kings. There was a bunch of, I forgot the title of the LGBT community. Lot. You remember that one, Lot. Let me in. Where the men's at, Lot? Tell them to come out here. Lot said, please. We know Lot was a holy man. Take my daughters. They ain't never had a man. They virgins. Most men, and they, you know, somebody clean, untouched. You know you got full of some wicked blood. Like, nah, I don't want your daughters. Get your daughters. I want them men. Tell them to come out here. Lot said, you do not know the wickedness that you want. Shut up, Lot. We get you too. We ain't worrying about you. Get them men. Yes. That wickedness, everything still around. Ain't nothing new under the sun. But as children of Yahweh, we Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, we are aware of Hasatan's devices. So we stay in his Torah and we just read, ooh, like Ariel said, like, man, families. Yahweh is telling us families. He tells people, yeah, man. But we got to remember, man can't live off of bread alone. Some of that regular physical food, but every word proceed out of the mouth of Yah. Like, did we believe? Give us this day our daily bread. Do we believe? Sister Debbie said it. We was on the text one time. Everybody was on the text group. That's before we had about 4, 5, 20 groups. We only just had one. But we was talking about something, water or something. I said something. Somebody else said, Sister Debbie said, nah, brother, Chabelle, Sister Darlene, I'll help you with. No, not if Yahweh do it, but when he do it. I'm like, whoa, Sister Debbie, she was right. Because I said, Sister Abel, whatever Sister said, Sister Bethany said, yeah, he brought water from a rock. I said, yeah, he gave them a quail. I always take the wrong thing. I don't have to use quail. He said, gave him manna. I said, so if, and Sister Debbie said, no, not if, Brother Rob and Sister, when. We all like, woo, he right. So we don't have to fear because he said, I'll never leave you nor abandon you. That's in Hebrews chapter 13, I think it's 3 or 4. He just, verse 7 say, he just, Yahshua the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember he told them the first, I am that bread that Moses and them talked about. Not that physical one, I'm that other bread, that eternal one. He told that woman at the well, I am that water. That water you get in there, you're going to get there. This one here, your palate is quenched. Remember, Revelation said there's a stream of pure water, Revelation chapter 21. Yeah, Christian quenched. Yeah. And what else Yahshua told him? I am the light of the world. So, yeah, it's a famine. But let's stay focused on this word of Yah. And people probably say, yeah, and I believe it. I guess I'm just one of them people. He got me now. Hallelujah. Yahweh sent a raven to feed Elijah when it was a drought for 3 years. If push comes to shove, Yahweh going to send me some food. And whoever believed that. That woman in King, remember she said, I'm a make this vessel. This is enough for me and my son, and we're going to die. You know, I see what they mean. Proverbs 18, life and death, power, life and death in the tongue. But I guess she was being a realist and truthful. But Yahweh sent Elijah there to give her a little encouragement. Be encouraged. He said, no, give me something to eat first. And then guess what? You cruise and go around collecting jars from everybody. Say, help, just collect some jars. They're going to laugh at you. And trust me, you're going to be all right. Because he said, I got her confused with the lady that her son was going to go into slavery. See, back in the day, if you owed money, your son would have won the slavery. See, my son would have been a slave. He just would have got freed back in August 2020. Because I owed some debts since 1995. I mean, they took my son when he was 1 year old. But anyway, another story. But in Kings, if I remember, the lady also told, she said, they're going to take my son. And he said, no, he said, go around and buy jars, empty jars for people. And what happened was Yahweh took, the jars were full with oil, and she took and sold those oil, and that's how she sustained. But what their oil for to family, that spirit going to sustain you. So whenever it is a famine in the world, the world is in dire strait, we at Beth Yahweh and the people of Yahweh, even not at Beth Yahweh, you on this line, you a believer in Yahweh, you follow the law, commandments, and statutes. Because he said you guys are spread abroad like the number of stars in the sky, the sands on the sea. You're not in a state like everyone else. Because you got, that's why it was important to read this Bible, stay in prayer. So when the time comes, Satan kind of shake you or shuffle you, you can say, if you gave them, you fed them that. You made water come out of rocks. You said quail. So we don't have to worry like that. I'm not saying prepare, but make sure we still focus on the manner of his word. The water of his word, the food, the substance of his word. And let's kind of diet, have a little diet and get as our spirit, so we make sure our spirit can discern what's falsehood, what's propaganda they're trying to put out to us, so our spirit can say, watch that. Yeah, that right there. And you say, well, yeah, I read that in Samuel. I mean, okay, that's similar. Remember, nothing new under the sun. That's what Ariel, I believe that's what the brother was trying to say. How Yahweh showed the famine, he showed his people. And then, well, like I said, what I got out of more was the famine in his word. But as long as we stay in his word, we always are sustained. He's still the creator. He still run everything. What the commandment, what Exodus say? Don't make an image that's in the heavens, on the earth, or in the sea, and underneath the land, underneath the sea. Don't make no images. Don't make no idols. You have to be careful. Don't let food become an idol, because anything can become an idol. Something that you have a desire for. Remember, Yahshua always warned, what he say? Beware of covetousness. So that's why we have to stay spirit-filled and allow the Holy Spirit. So like I said, we can listen to that stuff, but let's have our Holy Spirit filter on and let us go so he can give us a discernment like, yeah, that right there. Like, yeah, that, no, not right there. Remember what I'm saying? Yeah. Remember Ezekiel? Yeah, that right there. Remember 1 Kings? Remember Esther? Yeah. What time is 9:24? Okay, on that note, family, one more thing that came in. I should have shared that. I got it there. LBT stuff. But that's all right. The book of Esther, I remember when I was a Christian, we'll share this with you and we're going to leave out because I guess this will be a tragedy. For some reason, let me bring it back. I always was taught as a Christian, the book of Esther never mentions God, Yahweh. I'm going to leave y'all on that. That was supposed to have been the lesson, but I don't have it together. And I would say, nope, I don't do it. But you didn't say I can't do it or treat you. And I don't know when that lesson will come. But anyway, this is what you let me see. I always was told. And listen to commentary. That's why my only commentary is the Holy Spirit, the Ruach. But Yahshua told me about that commentary. That's the one I want to say. I'm going to leave you a spirit of truth and comfort. That's why I must go. I think you find it in John 14 and 16. But anyway, people always told me and always said, heard me say, and I read it myself again. The book of Esther don't never mention nothing about God. Guess what? If you're a Bible student, like we're taught, look at that book again. Do me a favor, and I'm going to help you out real quick. The king, like Ariel brought out in his lesson, He asked, was the Pharaoh during that famine in Joseph's time, was the Pharaoh pointing to Yahweh? And he said, most people think he's crazy. He said, no, the Pharaoh is the devil. No, at that time, the Pharaoh did point to Yahweh, and Joseph pointed to the son, Yahushua, because he was number two. Give me if I'm jacking up my brother Lester. He taught 2 Sabbaths ago. But anyway, what I'm trying to say, that's what brought this to my mind. Hallelujah. They always said, Esther, God not mentioning it. Yeah, it is. Esther couldn't go to the king. Nobody could go to the king unless you get an appointment to the king. You can't just stroll up in there and go, what's up, king? What's no. What I'm trying to say is that let me see the holiest of holies. You know, once a year, the high priest, the high kadosh, he did atonement for everyone, for the nation of Israel and himself and the priest. And he went behind the veil where the Ark of the Covenant, where Yahweh was at, and the altar of incense. So that story of Esther, God all in that story. Of course, Esther, like I told you, that's where the month of God, that's where one of the permissible holidays, or the two holidays, Yahweh permissible in our holy day, that's called Purim, the 14th and the 15th of the month, because they got delivered. But and Yahweh gives salvation. Yahweh and Yahshua all in there. You see the holies and holies. You can't. You couldn't just go up to the king. Now we can because Yahshua, the king, the temple, that people say, ain't no more temple and all that. Remember, it tore it. When Matthew said, the veil tore. It separated that veil where the holies and holies was exposed when he died. And now the temple was destroyed. And now you can come to him boldly, Hebrews chapter 4, say, you know, you got to be respectful, though. You got some reference. I ain't talking nonsense. But, yeah. So that book of Esther, God is in mentioning that, so is Yahshua. Because you just couldn't go up to the king. You had to be presented. Esther to get selected to be the queen. She had to go through a process of purity, incense, and how to conduct herself. God all in that. God show us in his book of Leviticus and all his books but how to come to him in a worship way, a holy acceptable way, and then you just come all the way up to the presence and just keep on going from Leviticus all the way up to Romans, Paul speak, and the other book. It's Yahshua come on the scene in Matthew and stuff and tell them it's still a way to come to God. Those ways haven't changed. But yeah, I just want to leave you on that. But this was something when Ariel brought out on his lesson 2 Sabbaths ago about the Pharaoh pointed in Genesis chapter 37 and 40 when Joseph went down to Egypt. You know that account. Read that account. Like he said, it's a beautiful account. But when he said that, that's why I can't find the note. It was another book. It was on another page. But that's what came to my mind. I said, man, that kind of reminds me. They always told me God ain't even mentioning Esther. That's the only book God, you won't hear his name or whatever. That's because you ain't a Bible student and you ain't asked God to open up your understanding, your spiritual ears and spiritual eyes. Because I can't brag. It wasn't him for him putting that on Ariel, the spirit, to teach that. That opened me up about Esther. Oh, he in the book of Esther. He in every book in there. He can't tell you, lo, I come in the volume of the books in Hebrew. He can't tell you that in Psalms 40. He'd be a liar, but yeah, it is. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are high. But only he can open things up and come with you. Hey, on that note, family, I talk too much. Like I said, I think that's how they're going to get me. So we're going to cut his tongue out. We're going to get him. Hopefully everybody apologize for not having a lesson. But I like to do things according to God, so that's why I didn't try to force them to push them. But pray that everybody enjoy the rest of this new moon, HaKadosh, and thank the Father once again for giving us the breath of life. Father, y'all open up our spiritual ears, spiritual eyes, give us understanding of the words that you put through me to say, that gave me to say, and forgive me if I erred on any account. Anybody got any questions or whatever, you can feel free to text me or call me or any one of my other brothers. That's Brother Daywell, Brother Ariel, Brother Ahabel, Brother Yariel, Brother Mariel, Brother Shafuto, and Brother Canute all down in Houston. Feel free to call any, and Brother Yakael, Rabbi Yakael. Feel free to call any one of us. If you have any questions,